Hello, this is Jane with the News Gazette, dated July 18th, 2025. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article entitled Election 2026, Auditor Danos Exploring Run for State Comptroller by Jim Day. Champaign County Auditor George Danos said Thursday that he's exploring a bid for the Democratic Party's nomination for state comptroller. He said he'll speak today to members of the Cook County Democratic Party during a statewide party committee meeting. Danos's announcement comes one day after incumbent comptroller Susana Mendoza announced that, having held office since 2016, she will not seek re-election in 2026. Danos is among a number of prospective candidates who've announced their interest in succeeding Mendoza. Among the others are two Chicago area women, State Representative Margaret Croke, and Lake County Treasurer Holly Kim. Danos, a certified public accountant, said Illinois needs and deserves a comptroller who is experienced and is expert in the subject matter of that office. Illinois is the fifth greatest economy in the nation and has many natural advantages, but it is also among the highest states in per capita taxpayer liabilities, he said. To keep the state on a sound financial basis, the legislature and the governor must be assisted by honest and direct and timely financial reporting. Although Democrats won't have a final ticket to present to voters until after the March primary, Danos is likely to be one of the few, perhaps the only candidate from outside the Cook County area to seek statewide office. The only non-Chicagoan who currently holds statewide office is U.S. Senator Dick Durbin of Springfield. State Treasurer Mike Frakes, a native of Gifford, who also lived in Champaign, moved to Chicago in 2023. Although Danos will be looking for an endorsement from the party power brokers, he declined to say whether he will run if he does not get it. Danos says he's taking it one step at a time. He also said he's not intimidated by the fact that he'd be running in an all-Illinois 102 counties rather than just one, or that a bid would require a significant financial effort. "I don't bow before money," he said. "It remains to be seen how local Democrats will react to the announcement." A holder of 3 degrees from the University of Illinois and county auditor since 2018, Danos has been in the news over the past 2 years after he clashed with county Democratic officials who tried to abolish his office and defeat his reelection. Voters decided both to keep the auditor's office and Danos as auditor. Those setbacks have not lessened the ardor of Danos's critics for political revenge. The latest effort coming in the form of denying him promised office space in the county's new Bennett Administrative Center in downtown Urbana. He has also ruffled party members' feathers by publicly opposing a proposed sales tax increase to fund county government. His election announcement noted that, should Danos win the race, he would make history as the first openly gay person to hold an Illinois constitutional office. He was born in Elgin, grew up in suburban Cook and Lake counties, and prior to his election as Champaign County Auditor, worked in accounting at Ernst & Young and Lurie's Children's Hospital in Chicago. All right, the second article appearing in the front page today under the title Champaign Park Apartments, City Given Approval to Fully Vacate the Property. Officials plan to file lien to recover costs of barricading site. Nearly 3 years after the Champaign Park Apartments complex was condemned, the city of Champaign has approval to remove anyone still living there. As of late May, officials estimated that more than 100 people were living in the 29 abandoned buildings. By Thursday's court hearing, attorney Kelly Gandersky, representing the city, said the count has dwindled to less than 50, but still more than 10. Sixth Judicial Court Judge Benjamin Dyer approved requests from the city for permission to have police and other employees remove the remaining residents, to turn off the electrical services, and to board up the buildings and fence off the area. Thank goodness no one has been harmed yet, but that is, in some measure, probably just luck, Dyer said. The apartment buildings, which Gandersky describes as no longer a viable place to live, has been the site of multiple structure fires since being condemned, while the most recent of those fires remain under investigation. Champaign Neighborhood Services Director Rob Kowalski said that at least one was caused by unsafe use of electricity. Despite being condemned and functionally abandoned, some of the buildings in the complex still have electricity. Kowalski, who said he visits the complex several times a week while performing his duties, described how a resident of one apartment was using a series of extension cords to provide power to an apartment across the hall. He said that type of setup isn't uncommon in the apartments and is believed to have caused at least one of the two fires in the last 10 months, as extension cords can easily be overloaded and short out. Beyond the fire hazard it proposes, Kowalski said the electric service to the buildings should be disconnected because it makes the units attractive to squatters. Gandersky said that neighborhood services and community outreach teams from the city have been visiting Champaign Park apartments weekly, coordinating with Cunningham's township to inform residents they need to leave and offer them alternatives. While the city now has approval to require those residents vacate the premises, it must give a 24-hour notice in the form of signage before taking action. It would typically be up to the property's owner to board up the condemned buildings and secure the property, but New York-based Champaign Apartments Owner LLC has not done so. Dyer also said the company has not fixed issues with the sewage and boiler rooms on the property despite a court order. He approved the city to move ahead with the board-up process. Gandersky said that once these steps are complete, she plans to move for a lien on the property regarding whatever cost boarding up incurred. This case was set for trial on August 12th, but the date has been vacated at the request of the city. Gandersky said that the city has been in communication with Metropolitan Commercial Bank, which said it had a potential contract purchaser for the property. However, the bank requested more information on the structural stability of several of the buildings in order to determine whether they must be demolished or if they have a chance of being restored. The city does not employ engineers with exact expertise in that subject, so it had to go through a process of procuring experts to look into the technical aspects of the building. Gandersky said that not only are the apartments in poor condition, they were built in the 1950s. They may require updates to match current building codes and accessibility standards. In short, the city requires more time to determine the best plans for the complex before moving ahead with demolition. Trash and boarded-up windows are seen at the condemned Champaign Party apartments on Friday in West Champaign, and they have a picture of that. Okay, and there's a lot of pictures on the front page today about Philo marking its sesquicentennial, or 150th year, as a city. There's several pictures of musicians and dancing. So there's that on the front page today. And the last front page article is entitled Champaign County Fair, New Motocross Track to Host Its First Races on Thursday by Dave Hinton. A new era of racing is scheduled to begin at this year's Champaign County Fair. Chad Dalton, developer of the indoor motocross track in a hangar at the former Chanute Air Force Base in Rantoul, is spearheading motocross racing on the fairgrounds. Dalton also envisions the track being available during warm weather months on announced dates. The track in Rantoul is only open during the winter months. Dalton said the Urbana track is going to give the community an opportunity to ride motocross year-round. When spring gets here, we'll be having events at the county fairgrounds. Where once stock cars and sprint cars ran, there will now be motocross racing. County Fair Board President Terry Lemke said those forms of racing at the county fair have run their course. The stock car racing wasn't doing that well in terms of quality and drawing spectators, Lemke said. County Board member Kent Weeks, who had overseen the racing for years, passed away and no one stepped forth to take his place. No one wanted to maintain it, and we didn't really have the equipment, and we were having drainage issues, Lemke said. Maintenance was also expensive. Last year, we put about 30,000 gallons of water on the track to make it usable for sprint car and stock car racing. Lemke reached out to Dalton, who had broached the idea of the county fair hosting motocross a couple years ago. Motocross racing is done on motorcycles. The inaugural event will be held Thursday. Dalton said it's scheduled to start at 5 p.m. with racing at 7. He estimated the races, there will be 28 classes with two races in the pro classes, will run until about 11 p.m. International Supercross race team president Bubba Polly helped Dalton design the track. Also assisting with the design was Charlie Betterton, who also helped design the Rantoul track. Mid-Illinois Concrete, where Dalton is employed, and the World of Power Sports Champaign are among the motocross track sponsors. Dalton said Kevin Modglin of Mid-Illinois Concrete Urbana was instrumental in the large earth-moving project to build the track. We spent about 2 weeks over there with a large excavator and bulldozer, a couple of skid steers, and several tandem loaders. In addition to bringing in dirt, they were able to use some of the dirt left over from the sprint car tracks. All ages will be eligible to compete on the new track. Dalton said racers are able to sign up early for the county fair event, but most will wait until the day of the race to register. Many racers wait to see what the weather will be like before signing up. It's a dirt sport, but safety is a large concern, Dalton said. We prefer to do it on good weather days. Lemke said people are starting to take notice of the new track. We have had a lot of people comment to us when they see it on our Facebook and Chad's Facebook. We want a good turnout of riders and spectators. He said there's nothing like the outdoor track in this area. The indoor track in Rantoul, B-52 Hangar MX, opened in 2001, and Dalton said it is going well. The fair, which starts today, runs through July 6th. The next article is titled Illinois Amish Heritage Center. It's tradition. Saturday event to explain many facets of uses of horses. Heritage Healing Horsepower by Dave Hinton. While farm equipment continues to increase in size and complexity, the horsepower used by Amish farmers largely remains the four-legged variety. Even many non-farming Amish use the traditional mode of transportation, according to Levy Yoder, Grounds Committee Chairman and Treasurer of the Illinois Amish Heritage Center. They use horse and buggy, Yoder said, of the Douglas Moultrie County Amish. None of them live in town. They still live in the countryside, even if they are no longer working in agriculture. Horse and buggy is often the first thing that comes to mind when people think about the Amish. The horse is as important to the Amish as more prevalent forms of transportation are for the rest of the modern world. It's pretty mandatory they drive horse and buggy to church and farm with horses, Yoder said. The healing touch. A more novel use of horsepower, however, has come to the fore in recent years. The equines are increasingly used for healing. That will be one of the topics at the Saturday event at the Amish Center titled All About Horses. Heritage Center representative Cassie Yoder said All About Horses blends education, equine demonstration, and Amish heritage. According to executive director David King, the event is designed to educate all ages about the deep connection between horses and humans and the many ways they continue to shape our world today. Equine-assisted mental and physical therapy is growing in popularity. The Amish-based Serenity Meadows will give therapeutic writing demonstrations that explain cognitive and emotional development, behavioral regulations in individuals with ADHD, balance and coordination in neurological conditions, and mobility and quality of life for those with Parkinson's and other challenges. Cassie Yoder said All About Horses is one of the several pop-up educational events the center will hold. Not only is it designed to inform visitors how horses are used in Amish traditions, whether it's on the agricultural side or in daily living, it will also provide hands-on activities and live demonstrations. Inquiring Minds. A little kid will ask a volunteer, "Are you ever too old to ride a horse?" Cassie Yoder said. "You realize there are so many questions people have." The Moultrie-Douglas County area is populated with 2,500 Amish homesteads and is the eighth largest Amish settlement in the world, with about 4,000 residents. "A large number of them use horses," Cassie Yoder said. "A vast majority are practicing Old Order Amish." Also available Saturday will be a horse performance, including a trick pony show, horse-drawn buggy rides, animal encounters, a working grist mill, horse training demonstrations, and a rope-making activity. Food will also be available. "We want to emphasize there will be a farrier shoeing horses, explaining how he makes her shoes," Levy Yoder said. Yoder has deep ties to this area. His great-great-grandfather, Moses Yoder, came to central Illinois from Pennsylvania looking for good ground and made 28 land transactions from age 50 to 70. He and Daniel Schrock were the main ones who bought in the Amish, he said. The center is 4 miles east of Arthur. Okay, moving to the Danville School Board, an article entitled "Financial Advisor Sworn In as Newest Member" by Jennifer Bailey. The Danville School District once again has a full board. Edwin Jones, financial advisor Reggie Warfield, a dad to 3 students attending Danville High School in Northeast Elementary, was sworn in this week as the newest school board member. After being seated and as the school board discussed treasurer's reports and other items, Warfield said, "I've got homework to do." The board selected Warfield out of 11 applicants who sought to fill the seat vacated by Thomas Miller. Warfield will serve out the rest of Miller's term through May 12th of 2027. Warfield also serves on the United Way of Danville Area Board. He's also a mentor of Southview Middle School. Through it takes a village mentorship and serves on his church's foundation board. He said he wanted to serve on the school board due to working in finance for more than 12 years. As a banker, he said he'd go into schools and work with students on budgeting, credit, and other things. "And we kind of gotten away from that. I feel that's something that may be missing in our curriculum a little bit, or we could at least do better about we're teaching real-life skills," he said. President Darlene Halloran said Warfield will add a real good dimension to the board. The board also approved other district personnel changes. At Northeast Elementary, Magnet School Principal Justin Thorlton, in his 23rd school year with the district, is the new Assistant Director of Human Resources. He succeeds Markeisha Parker, who last month was promoted to Associate Superintendent. Replacing Thorlton at Northeast is Brett Lockhart, a former music teacher at the school who most recently served as assistant principal at Southview Upper Elementary. Blake Bodine, a former assistant principal at Mark Denham Elementary, will be assistant principal at Southview. The school board set administrative salaries, but Halloran said they have not yet finalized a contract with the new superintendent, John Hart. We have several obituaries to get to today. First is William S. Brown. William Stanley Brown, 76, of Champaign, passed away peacefully at 12:53 a.m. Tuesday, July 15, 2025, at Carle Foundation Hospital, Urbana, after a courageous 2-year battle with cancer. A celebration of life will be held at American Legion Hall, Post 71, 107 North Broadway Avenue in Urbana, on Saturday, July 19th at 5 p.m. In lieu of flowers, the family invites those who knew Bill to honor his memory by donating to American Legion, Post 71. The next is Briley Nicole Cox, 18, of Hoopston, passed away Saturday, July 12th, 2025. A visitation will be held from 2 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, July 22nd at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Wednesday, July 23rd at Hoopston Area Middle School Gymnasium, 615 East Orange Street, Hoopston, with the Reverend Gene Oliver Holder and Larry Bong officiating. Burial will follow in Floral Hill Cemetery, Hoopston. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to the Briley Cox Memorial and Scholarship Fund, care of Iroquois Federal, 655 South Dixie Highway in Hoopston, Illinois, 60942. And Nancy Cox, 81, of Charleston, died at 11:20 a.m. on Thursday, July 17, 2025, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Evergreen Cremation Services, 314 Tiffany Court, Champaign. Sarah Sally Stocks Eisfeldt, 76, of Champaign, passed away peacefully on Monday, July 14, 2025, with Grace, Love, and Motown playing in the background. A celebration of Sally's life will be held at a later date. All who knew her will be welcome, and the family looks forward to sharing and hearing their stories. In lieu of flowers, please raise a glass and play some Marvin Gaye and hug your loved ones. Kathy Galloway, 64, died at 6:45 p.m. Tuesday, July 15, 2025, at Carle Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. And Rita Haskins, 77, of Danville, passed away Sunday, July 13, 2025, at home. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday, July 21st, at Kruger Funeral Home, 10 East William Street in Danville. Services will follow at 1 p.m. with Pastor Ramey Gordon officiating. She will be entombed in Sunset Memorial Park thereafter. Mary Kennedy, 66, of Danville, died at 12:14 p.m. Tuesday, July 15, 2025, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Visitation will be from 3 to 6 p.m. Wednesday at Robeson Chapel, 103 Douglas Street, Catlin. Funeral services will be at 6 p.m. Wednesday at the funeral home. Monsignor James Cruz will officiate. Roosevelt Funeral Services and Crematorium, 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton, is in charge of the arrangements. And Carol Salzinski, Ball Hit, 98, of Brownsburg, Indiana, formerly of Danville, died Thursday, July 10, 2025, in Brownsburg. Visitation will be from 9 to 10:30 a.m. Wednesday at Sunset Funeral Home and Crematorium Center, through 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Funeral services will be at 10:30 a.m. Wednesday at the funeral home. Pastor Dave Anderson will officiate. Burial will be in Danville National Cemetery. Larry Vail, 80 of Champagne died Sunday, July 13, 2025, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Evergreen Cremation Services, 314 Tiffany Court in Champaign. And the final obituary of today would be Elisa De Leon of 78, died at 8:26 a.m. Wednesday, July 16, 2025, at Haven of Meadowbrook, Champaign. There will be no services. Bayer Family Funeral Services, 406 East Pell Street in Paxton, is in charge of the arrangements. Okay, and for some local football news, an article entitled Sage Piece of Advice. The News Gazette's preseason top 10, number 7, Monticello. Plenty of new faces will suit up for Monticello this fall, but don't bet against Welter's program, Reloading Again, by Matt Daniels. The topic of why Monticello football has experienced sustained success year after year since 2009 is easy for Romano to point out. Literally. Which is what the Monticello senior wide receiver did, as he mentioned to Sage's coach, Cully Walter, standing inside Seaver Center last Wednesday afternoon while a downpour in Piatt County ensued outside. "We obviously have a great coach over there in Coach Walter," Romano said. "We have a lot of new kids who are willing to step up and fill the spots that are open from last year since we had so many seniors." The 2025 Monticello football team will look vastly different than the 2024 version, which finished its season playing in a Class 3A state championship game. Expectations, though, remain high, and the Sages check in at number 7 in the News Gazette's preseason area top 10 poll. Gone is standout dual threat quarterback Ike Young. The News Gazette's All-Area Player of the Year in 2024, who contributed 4,384 yards of total offense and 49 total touchdowns. Young will pitch the next baseball season at Illinois after declining to sign with the Tampa Bay Rays when the Rays took him in the 20th round of this year's MLB draft. Gone is prolific wide receiver Carter Foran. The dynamic playmaker established single-season records for receptions with 116 and receiving yards with 1,854 to go along with the 21 touchdown catches, and will play this fall at DePauw University in Greencastle, Indiana. Gone are 16 other seniors who contributed significantly on both sides of the ball for the Sages, meaning Monticello will essentially have new starters at almost every position when the 2025 season kicks off at 7 p.m. on August 29th at Chillicothe IVC. Back though, Welter for his 17th season in charge at Monticello, and Nolan Bunenkemper, a 3-year starter and versatile athlete who will replace Young at quarterback this fall. Walter has compiled a 130-46 record in his tenure with the Sages and is the only active area coach who has won a state title at their current school after helping Monticello cap an undefeated 14-0 season in 2018 with a 3A state title. All told, the 2018 inductee into the Illinois High School Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame has a 266-86 career record and 4 state championships after previous successful stops at Aledo and Ridgeview. Yet he realizes all those previous accomplishments do not guarantee success this fall. "We don't really win a lot at the freshman level, so it's a credit to the kids for how much they develop, how much they work at it, and how much they want to do it," Walter said. "Even last year, with 18 seniors, there were a lot of question marks, but you can rely on the fact you have 18 seniors. I think it's both scary and fun at the same time, seeing who's going to emerge." With Bunenkemper moving to quarterback, that means the Sages will have a new crop of receivers to catch passes in their spread offense that never lacks for creativity under Welter's direction. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half of the News Gazette, July 18th, 2025. Please stay tuned.